30 minutes right here on Talk Radio WBOB.
Welcome to another edition of Hey Doc. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, Medical Director and Physician at Southside Medical Center, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host for the next half hour. With me today is my co-host and wife, Carmen Lasky, a certified EMT. Together, we hope that you will find the show informative, educational, as well as entertaining. How many of you out there have heard jokes of the genre, fortunately, unfortunately? Well, yesterday I was reminded of one in the medical world when I heard the old joke, maybe the first of its genre. It goes like this. A man was invited to a party in another state. Unfortunately, he didn't have the money to pay for a ticket.
Fortunately, the invite came with a round-trip ticket free of charge.
Unfortunately, the flight was canceled.
Fortunately, there was a second flight with an available seat.
Unfortunately, the plane developed engine trouble, and the passengers had to jump.
Fortunately, the men got a parachute and jumped.
Unfortunately, the parachute did not open.
Fortunately, there was a haystack under him.
Unfortunately, there was a pitchfork in the haystack.
Fortunately, he missed the pitchfork.
Unfortunately, he missed the haystack. Well, there was an article in a recent news service that said that experts criticized a recent study that recommended no consumption of alcohol at all. Others again stated that moderate drinking does have some health benefits. So who to believe? We will call this first segment of the Hey Doc Show, To Drink or Not to Drink.
A study that went viral last week concluded there is no safe amount of alcohol, leading some people to question whether they should continue to enjoy a beer after work.
However, some experts say the research was taken out of context and maintain that moderate drinking may still have health benefits. They looked at alcohol consumption in countries across the world from 1990 to 2016.
The research analyzed how alcohol affected the risk of 23 health outcomes. These included heart disease, cancer, car accidents, injuries, and non-communicable diseases.
The conclusion that they came to was that alcohol is one of the leading risk factors for death and disability, noting it's responsible for nearly 3 million deaths around the world in 2016. Then they concluded that no amount of alcohol is safe to drink. Now that sounds pretty damning. While alcohol can be harmful to some people, it may actually provide protective benefits for others.
A recent study published in Circulation, the journal from American Heart Association, found that moderate drinking could actually prolong your life.
Now, by moderate drinking, they mean one drink per day for women and two for men. There's also another study that was presented in the same journal.
In that particular article, the authors stated that there are more than 60 studies showing that light to moderate alcohol consumption actually reduces the likelihood of heart disease, which just happened to be the leading cause of death in the United States.
This does not mean that you can now start drinking just to decrease your cardiovascular risk. But if you're an older woman with risk factors for cardiovascular disease, the occasional drink you have just might reduce that risk. But before we look at these studies that obviously appear to be recommending two opposing views, and hence recommending two opposing actions, I'd like to talk about Perry Mason. Anyway, for those of you too young to watch the Perry Mason TV series, Mr. Mason was a criminal defense lawyer. In the court, he was opposed by the district attorney, Hamilton Berger. In the series, Mr. Berger, a competent attorney, lost virtually all of the cases. Of the 271 cases presented on the TV, Mr. Mason only lost three. But I'm not here to talk about fictional attorneys. The reason I remembered this is that often preponderance of evidence is what wins cases for one reason or another, and these are often due to expert witnesses that testify on each side, in other words, both for and against the defendant. I always wondered how it is that both sides can find such credible expert witnesses, sometimes tops in their fields, and still have opposite opinions with proofs.
Well, the same goes for scientific studies. Sometimes experts in their fields disagree or appear to disagree simply because they use a different set of facts or situations that simply seem to prove their side.
There are several proofs, and I use the term proof lightly, in mathematics, where zero has been proven to equal one and even two. Now, you and I know that this is impossible, but there are proofs that use a series of calculations that on the surface appear to be, in fact, proofs. It's only when you take a deeper look at the real facts that the ultimate truth comes out. In the case of the math proof, there's one point in the equation when one is unknowingly dividing by zero, and we all know you can't divide by zero.
Getting back to alcohol, here we have experts who argue whether consuming alcohol is good, bad, or who knows, for human health.
In order to get a really good idea where these opposing results come from, you need to look at just what the researchers were researching.
For example, the Lancet study considered the effect of alcohol use on the risk of developing tuberculosis when making its recommendation that people should shun alcohol.
There were over 2.5 million people in India with tuberculosis, but less than 9,500 reported cases in the United States. Now, taking these numbers into consideration, cutting alcohol may offer some reduction in the tuberculosis in India, but it is unlikely it's going to have a major effect in countries with a low rate of the disease.
Since we don't have to worry much about tuberculosis in the U.S., we have to be very careful when we start taking data from around the world and generalizing it to the patient's population in the U.S.
Take Italy, for example. Italy has around the same prevalence of drinking as the United States, but the life expectancy in Italy is one of the highest in the world.
Maybe we should be asking, what are these countries doing right, rather than what are we doing wrong?
Around one-third of the general adult U.S. population admitted to binge drinking and heavy alcohol use in at least 1 month in a 2015 report.
What we really need to get from these studies is that we need to be more thoughtful about when we drink and how much we drink, and understand that there are health risks every time we drink.
It's kind of like saying that the surgery was a success, but the patient died. So before you opt for the drink one or two glasses of alcohol daily for your health plan, see your doctor. Your doctor should take into account your lifestyle, family history, health history, and other factors in providing that guidance. So maybe, just maybe, some things are okay in moderation. On last week's show, we covered several of the most common parasitic diseases that are seen in the United States. But as we said, a 30-minute show is just not enough to cover all of them. So today, Carmen and I are going to close that topic by talking about the diseases that we missed.
The tapeworm is an interesting one. There are several different tapeworms, but the most common one that affects humans is the one called Taenia solium.
It lives in human tissue, such as the brain and muscles. Larval cysts form in the body and can cause a number of complications, and that includes seizures. So how do you get it?
Usually by eating uncooked and undercooked pork that contains larval cysts. There are at least 1,000 hospitalizations for cystic silicosis per year in the U.S.
The infection starts with the larvae of T. solium, and it develops after ingestion of the ova that are excreted in human feces. Surprisingly, cystic silicosis is usually asymptomatic unless the larvae invade the CNS, that's the central nervous system, and that results in neurocystic silicosis. That's the complication that can cause seizures and various other neurological symptoms.
Sometimes only a brain scan will demonstrate the disease, since less than half the patients with neurocystic silicosis have adult T. solium in their intestines or eggs in their stool.
But lo and behold, the adult worm can be eradicated with treatment using praziquintel. Once the T-psyllium affects the brain, the treatment becomes, well, more complicated. It includes corticosteroids, anticonvulsants, and in some situations, the albendazole or praziquantel, and even surgery may be required.
By the way, we have been talking about T-psyllium, the pork tapeworm. There is also a beef tapeworm called T. saginata.
If you were to look at the worm under a microscope, apart from its bulbous, strange-looking head, the body is made up of rectangular-like segments called proglotids. Now, these can break off and be passed in the stool. Some of these segments can even travel backwards into the stomach. Adult tapeworms may reside in the small bowel for years. And listen to this, they can reach up to 23 feet in length.
They can also produce up to 1,000 proglotids, which contains about 50,000 eggs. That's a total of 50 million eggs per worm.
So how does all this work? That is, how does the infection maintain itself? First, humans ingest contaminated raw or undercooked pork. The cysts attach to the walls of the small intestine, and they grow into mature worms. This takes, around 2 months.
Then, the adult tapeworms produce a proglotid, which detach from the tapeworm and are passed out in the stool.
Pigs or humans become infected by ingesting the eggs or the proglotids.
After eggs are ingested, they hatch in the intestine and release oncospheres, which penetrate the intestinal tract.
This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I've been the medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center for the past 29 years. We're located at 3604 Southside Boulevard, just two blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection between the Pottsburg Post Office and the Tulsa Welding School. We will treat your pains, sprains, and strains. Our practice emphasizes chronic pain management as well as anti-aging medicine. We also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you would like to make an appointment or ask any questions about Southside Medical Center, please call us at 641-4411. That's 641-4411. Southside Medical Center, where your health is our primary care. Welcome back to the Hey Doc Show. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I'm here with my co-host, Carmen Lasky. And we've been talking about the five most common parasites that affect humans in the United States. The next one up is trichomoniasis. In the U.S., trichomonas infection is incredibly common, yet it's a curable sexually transmitted disease. Unfortunately, it can also increase one's risk for developing other STDs. It's a parasite that affects 3.7 million people in the United States. Now, that does not mean that everyone is affected once infected. Only about 30% of people will actually develop symptoms, which can include itching, burning in the genital area, pain during urination, and a discharge. The parasite passes from an infected person to an uninfected person during sex. Now, during sex, the parasite spreads from one person to another, obviously.
You may not know this, but trichomonas can affect other parts of the body, like the hands, mouth, or anus.
Why do some people get the symptoms and others don't? It probably depends on factors like a person's age and overall health. But remember, infected people without symptoms can still pass the infection on to others. Some people with symptoms get them within 5 to 28 days after being infected. Others, well, they don't develop the symptoms until much later. Not only that, symptoms can come and go. Now, men with trichomoniasis may notice itching or irritation inside the penis, burning after urination or ejaculation, and a discharge from the penis.
Women with trichomoniasis may have itching, burning, redness or soreness of the genitals, as well as discomfort with urination. there may also be a change in their vaginal discharge.
Without treatment, the infection can last for months or even years. There are also complications of having the infection. Trichomoniasis can increase the risk of getting or spreading other sexually transmitted infections.
For example, trichomoniasis can cause genital inflammation that makes it easier to now listen to this carefully. Trichomoniasis can cause genital inflammation that makes it easier to get infected with HIV or to pass the HIV virus onto a sex partner.
You may be wondering how trichomoniasis affects the baby in pregnancy. Well, pregnant women are more likely to deliver prematurely. Also, babies born to infected mothers are more likely to have a low birth weight. Now, it's not possible to diagnose trichomoniasis based on symptoms alone. There are laboratory tests that diagnose trichomoniasis.
Their usual treatment is most often with oral metronidazole or tinidazole. The brand names for these are Flagyl, Tindamax, and Phygine. Dr. Lasky, can you get it a second time?
You bet. Having trichomoniasis once does not create immunity. About 1 in 5 people get infected again within 3 months after receiving treatment. Now, here's some good advice. To avoid getting reinfected, make sure that all of your sex partners are treated. Also, you should wait 7 to 10 days after you or your partner have been treated to have sex again. And if your symptoms return, get checked again. So you might be asking yourself, well, I don't want to ever get that disease. How can I prevent it?
The only way to avoid STDs is to not have vaginal, anal, or oral sex. What you can do to lower your chances of getting trichomoniasis is to be in a long-term, mutually monogamous relationship with a partner who has been tested and has negative STD test results.
You can also use latex condoms the right way every time you have sex. This can lower your chance of getting trichomoniasis.
However, the parasite can infect areas that are not covered by a condom, so condoms may not fully protect you from getting trichomoniasis.
Another approach is to talk about the potential risk of STDs before you have sex with a new partner. That way, you can make informed choices about the level of risk you are comfortable taking with your sex life. If you or someone you know has questions about trichomoniasis or any other STD, talk to your healthcare provider. Don't rely just on information that you get from the internet.
Oncospheres travel through the bloodstream to striated muscles and to their brain, liver, and other organs, where they develop into cysticercy, and thus cysticercosis can result.
Have you ever heard of the cat poop parasite? It's a medical term for toxoplasma. In the U.S., more than 60 million people, that's right, 60 million people are chronically affected with Toxoplasma gondii. The parasite is also found in undercooked meat and even some unwashed fruits and vegetables.
Health experts say Toxoplasma can put pregnant women at risk for birth defects. Symptoms of this parasitic infection include swollen lymph nodes, muscle aches, and eye complications. If you left untreated, these problems can become chronic.
The Sackler family owns Purdue Pharma. One of the products manufactured by Purdue is the pain medication OxyContin. Now, Purdue has been awarded a patent for a treatment for opioid use disorder, and Dr. Richard Sackler, a Purdue family member, is listed as one of the 6 inventors of the patent, which was issued in January of this year. The patent concerns a new formulation of the medication called buprenorphine, one of the medicines shown to help people with opioid addiction. It's already approved by the Food and Drug Administration in tablet and film form.
But the new patent describes a wafer that could dissolve even faster than existing forms when put under the tongue.
The patent says that the faster the treatment dissolves, the less risk there is for diversion. We'll see how this pans out in the near future. Remember what we said earlier about experts and expert opinions?
some experts say cannabidiol may be able to help reset the brains of people who have conditions such as schizophrenia and bipolar disorder.
Although chronic marijuana use has been linked to increased risk of psychiatric problems in some people, a new study, however, shows that a non-psychoactive compound found in cannabis seems to reduce abnormal brain functions associated with psychosis, which includes diseases such as schizophrenia and bipolar disorder.
Researchers at King's College London report in the journal JAMA Psychiatry that a single dose of cannabidiol, CBD for short, could someday be an effective alternative to the antipsychotic drugs in use since the 1950s.
In this study, researchers found that participants treated with CBD have fewer psychiatric symptoms than those who received a placebo. The research also indicated they were more likely to be evaluated as having improved conditions by their treating physician. The mechanism by which it works, that's unclear. It may be that CBD inhibits an enzyme that clears a chemical called anandamide. What is anandamide, you ask? Well, this is a natural antidepressant that's regulated by the brain's cannabinoid system. Yes, we have a cannabinoid system in our brains. The latest research compared participants receiving CBD to a placebo as well as to a control group.
Treating people early with the symptoms of psychosis before symptoms become chronic is the best opportunity to successfully intervene with disease like schizophrenia.
MRI scans revealed that abnormal brain activity was lower among the CBD group than among participants who received a placebo. Now, what does this suggest? It suggests that cannabidiol can help readjust brain activity to normal levels, at least according to the researchers in the King's College study. Furthermore, CBD was not associated with significant side effects.
According to another researcher, one of the main advantages of cannabidiol is that it is safe and seems to be very well tolerated, making it in some way an ideal treatment.
If this study is successful, then this trial will provide definitive proof of cannabidiol's role as an antipsychotic treatment, and it will pave the way for use in clinics across the country.
If you or any of your family members have been prescribed any medication that are being rejected or denied at the pharmacy, and you feel that the medication is both appropriate and medically necessary, then you need to make your voice known. Contact your state and federal representatives and tell them what's happening. It is only with this that we can right the wrongs that are being perpetrated on a large part of our citizenry and their human rights when they are denied appropriate and necessary treatment.
I'd like you, our listeners, to know that I am one of several physicians right here in the Jacksonville area that has received the certification to recommend medical marijuana to those patients with certain qualifying diagnoses. These now include amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, cancer, Crohn's disease, epilepsy, glaucoma, HIV/AIDS, seizure disorders, chronic muscle spasms, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, PTSD, a terminal condition, as well as other ailments and conditions, including certain diseases with chronic or long-term pain. For more information, you can call our office at 641-4411. We've also set up a website for our Medical Marijuana Society at www.medmarsoc.com. That's www.medmarsoc.com. We have also set up a special website at CompassionateCareJax.com. Well, you can get a whole lot more information on medical marijuana. You can also set up an appointment for an office visit to Southside Medical Center right on the website. Again, that website is CompassionateCareJax.com. Well, we've come to the end of another Hey Doc show. Carmen and I hope that you've enjoyed the past half hour and have found it interesting, educational, and maybe just a little bit entertaining.
So, from all of us here at Southside Medical Center, have a happy and healthy weekend. Goodbye.